Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. This time, it's the weekly conversation that I have with David James as we focus on a special issue that the body of Christ needs to have an understanding of and understand exactly what the Bible says about that issue. There was a focus, and we'll focus on that in our conversation today, from a recent survey that said God accepts worship and prayers and the activities of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. This is a shocking report, and it reveals that the church needs to really get into a deeper study of doctrine. The pastors, these leaders, need to open the Word of God, realize what it's saying to us for today, and then move forward in understanding how the Christian lifestyle must be played out. We'll talk about this survey in a moment and the reality of what it's telling us today when David James comes to the broadcast table here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. I want to remind you that Jesus Christ had much to say to the local church. The last thing he is going to say and communicate to the local church will be of prophetic significance. It's found in the book of Revelation, and it's chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, which would be the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor that God gave to John the Revelator to deliver to those churches. I have a very interesting DVD documentary where we go to Turkey, we visit all of those seven churches, and we help you to understand what the message was from Jesus to the church at that time, which is so applicable for today. May I suggest you go to my prophecy bookstore. Prophecytoday.com is the address, the bookstore there on that website. And when you get inside the bookstore, look for a DVD entitled Let Them Hear. It is a common phrase to all seven churches in Asia Minor at the time of Jesus Christ. Go to the Prophecy Bookstore, find my DVD documentary, Let Them Hear. We now bring to these microphones David James. David, I ran across an article this week on the Christian Post website about a very disturbing survey concerning how evangelicals are actually viewing other religions today. I sent it to you. What are your thoughts?
Well, I was glad that you did send it to me because it's something that's actually a topic that's near and dear to my heart as I travel around the world and try to bring right theology, correct biblical exposition and interpretation to students around the world on various theological topics. And a lot of these students come out of a lot of different religions, saved out of Hinduism, saved out of Roman Catholicism, saved out of tribal religions and various other religions around the world, even including Islam. And this article that came out in late October, as you said, on the Christian Post website, the title of the article is Most Evangelicals Believe God Accepts Worship of All Religions. And Chris Larson, he's not the author of the article, but he is the president of Ligonier Ministries, says of the results of this survey, which was conducted by Lifeway Research, a group related to the Southern Baptist Convention, he said there is an urgent need. After seeing the results of this survey, there's an urgent need for bold teaching of historic Christianity. And this was actually a fairly significant survey. I had a sample of about 3,000 Americans who were interviewed, and they were asked about their views on a series of theological statements, including the question of whether God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And the results of that survey are really quite disturbing, and they seem to be representing a trend as well. And in fact, what they're saying right now as a result of the survey is that something like 51% a full 51% of evangelicals believe that God accepts worship from those in apparently any religion.
I think, David, there are several things that we should probably discuss that are very important for our listeners. I think the first thing concerns what it means to be an evangelical, and is the definition actually somehow changing over time?
Well, I do believe that it is changing over time. The term evangelical, and as I would understand it, has historically meant that someone believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God Himself, God in the flesh, lived a perfect life, became the perfect sacrifice of God, dying in our place, taking the punishment we deserve for our sins, and arising from the grave on the third day, and that salvation, and the only way of salvation, is through faith in Him. And that is what has historically been meant by evangelical. And typically today I identify myself as an historically conservative evangelical. But I think this survey represents the fact that evangelicalism as a whole, and to be called an evangelical, no longer carries that very specific and very precise meaning, because if you're breaking faith from Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, if you're breaking that away from what it means to be an evangelical, you've actually completely changed the definition of the word, and I would say have completely robbed it from its meaning.
You know, this survey, David, really reminded me of a different survey that came out way back in 2008 that actually led to some major changes in your life and your ministry. And I'm kind of excited about the fact that I was also a part of that decision for you and your life in ministry.
Well, yes, you were a major part of that. It goes back to, as you said, 2008. It is actually June. I remember all very well what happened. A survey came out that had been conducted surveying about 30,000 churchgoers in the United States, and over 9,000 of those churchgoers had self-identified as evangelicals. In other words, people believing that Jesus Christ, theoretically believing that Jesus Christ would be the only way of salvation, that the Bible is the Word of God, and so on. And the disturbing results were not so much the 30,000 churchgoers in general, which wouldn't surprise us if they believe things other than what the Bible clearly teaches, but what really bothered me was that of the over 9,000 self-identified evangelicals, around 58% were saying that they believed that there was possibility of salvation apart from explicitly hearing and understanding and believing the gospel. And whenever I got the results from that survey, as just part of my normal everyday research and reading, I immediately sent you an email. I think it was just a two-line email telling you the results of the survey and then asking you, do we need to do something or something we can do? You and I, maybe some others, can do to help hold the line on conservative evangelicalism, believing that Jesus Christ is the only way, teaching the Bible correctly, including Bible prophecy and all of that entails surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ. And you felt that there was, and in fact, just before that, you had received an email about a pastor who became a part of our board of what became the Alliance for Biblical Integrity, and he had preached a message to his conservative evangelical church in New Jersey, and the title of his message was actually Why I Can No Longer Call Myself an Evangelical. And that led me to leave Word of Life, a ministry I'd been with for 21 years, leave my life as a full-time missionary living outside the United States to start this new ministry, but which is now taking me around the world trying to teach the truth of the Word of God.
Well, praise the Lord for that decision we've made. It's been 10 years of very fruitful ministry for you and our great opportunity to partner with you. This recent survey cited in the Christian Post article also noted a couple of other major theological issues that go directly against what the Bible actually says and are completely different from what evangelicals have generally believed for literally hundreds of years.
Well, that's really true. It was noted in the article that it was so disheartening to find out that a large number of evangelicals actually believed that faith in Jesus Christ was not necessary for salvation, and they did not believe that Jesus was God himself, but he was actually a created being. And we know that those things are not true, that Jesus is God himself, God in the flesh. And for someone to call themselves an evangelical and not hold to such a fundamental belief in things that are so very clear in the Word of God certainly is quite disturbing.
You know, it may not be hard for most evangelicals to understand that there's a major difference between the millions of gods of Hinduism, for example, or the local gods of trees, mountains, and rivers in tribal religions, and the God of the Bible. But I think it's probably becoming more confusing when it comes to what many call the three Abrahamic religions of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam.
I think that more and more people who call themselves evangelicals believe that Jews, Christians, and Muslims all worship the same God because they do trace roots back to Abraham, but they are not worshiping the same God. And it is a mistake to think that they are. For one thing, in Islam, they believe that it was Ishmael that Abraham was going to sacrifice, and that the Jewish people corrupted what we would call the revelation of God in the Hebrew portion of the Bible, the Old Testament. And Islam came out of pagan religions in the Middle East. So God of the Bible and Allah are not the same person. In a similar way, I would say this, that Jews would be closer in the sense that they are worshiping God as he revealed himself in the Old Testament, but they missed the prophecies that made it very clear that God would become a man in the person of Jesus Christ, and so they reject Jesus Christ as the way of salvation. And that being the case, they too, along with Islam, saying it in a little bit different way, but ultimately saying that God has no son. And we know that salvation actually is found only in the Son, as God, the Father, draws people to the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. And all three persons of the Godhead are involved in salvation. So it's something that we must take quite seriously.
Yes, very seriously. I agree. And that's one of the reasons when I sent the article to you, I just really strongly wanted us to have this discussion here today, very key as far as the body of Christ is concerned, and an exhortation to pastors and teachers to teach the Word of God and what it actually says. David, great research. Thank you so much for the interaction. We'll have another similar conversation next week.
Thanks. Look forward to it.
This report from David James sets the stage for the fulfillment of prophecy. I'm talking about Revelation chapter 17, which is the prophecy of a one-world religiosity that will be led by Antichrist. He is the epitome of false religious worship, and indeed he heads up the false church that will be headquartered in Rome, Italy, at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period. You need to do an intense study on Revelation chapter 17. Again, I must tell you that the next most important prophetic city is not Jerusalem, but instead it is Rome, Italy. You'll find out about the false church and all false religiosity there at the beginning of the tribulation period. Go to my bookstore, and if you can get a copy of Let Them Hear, it will lay out information that you need to have in light of this recent survey and the wrong belief of the Christian evangelical world today. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.